And now on the line, right, we've got Senator Rob Rollison regarding a new bill, package of bills, actually, hoping to expand options for parents seeking child care. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, good morning, Rose, and it's good to be with you this morning. And I can tell you from my vantage point, Route 9 is moving good in the town of Poughkeepsie, too.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Wonderful. So you are a ranking member on the Senate's Children and Families Committee, correct?
I am.
And, so obviously you know a lot about this. What caught my eye about this, I don't know where I saw it, somewhere on some social media page, was how that your one of the bills has something to do with expanding the services for non-traditional workers and employees who might work a night shift or anything. I had no idea that there were restrictions on providers, daycare and or night care providers, children care providers, as far as hours and stuff. So, that's what caught my eye. But there's so many things, so many layers to this. Just the cost of child care alone is extraordinary these days, right? So about the three, about the bills and what you're hoping to accomplish.
Well, I just, a little bit of a background. So I, when I got elected to the Senate, 2022 for starting to serve in 2023, you get asked what committees you'd like to be on, and I wanted to be on Children and Families as one of them, and I was honored to get on that committee, as the ranking minority member, which is good to be in that area, in that space, because, it's important to me, it's important to everyone when it comes to our children and our families. And what we did is we held a hearing, and actually it was an all-day hearing. When you have hearings in Albany, they go on, start in the morning and then go on into the evening, and it was on child care. And this was back in 2023. And I learned a lot about child care, obviously, in that hearing. And one of them was, there are so many non-traditional types of child care when it comes to individuals that are working, say, overnight or working weekends. Mm-hmm. Your traditional child care generally is during the day, during the work week, but we work 7 days a week as a society. And so you have the in-home health child care, you have the traditional child care, bricks and mortar, but then you got folks who are doing it in their homes for longer periods of time, and also during the off hours. And it's important to increase that.
Yeah, so I didn't really, so there are regulations on that. I didn't even know that, So, what do people do if they want to provide child care, say, in overnight hours? That's something that's not really, it's kind of frowned upon, or it's not legal. I don't know.
And thanks for that question, Rose. No, it is, and there are rules promulgated and regulations for all child care settings. But one of the things that you find is that the non-traditional child care is not as available.
Right.
So, in asking in this bill, for the Office of Children and Family Services, they are the main state agency that regulates and establishes the parameters of child care, to look at this and have something that they can facilitate to increase the non-traditional hours, so providers can expand their services, others can actually maybe get into the child care business. These are small businesses. This is important to the economy,
right?
And to give individuals more flexibility.
That's great. Now, I also saw that the average annual cost for infant care in this state is $15,000+ a year. That's just unbelievable to me.
It is.
So is there something in one of the bills that you're doing that's, going to try to help with that, some kind of credit or something?
Yeah, well, there's a couple parts also, too, is, tax credits for the facilities themselves.
Oh, wow.
Because, where you get into, obviously, the high cost of child care, and I think New York is sixth in the nation when it comes to cost, is that, it costs money, the providers, to create these safe spaces and the upgrades, and having, tax credits for them to do this work and to establish these, these businesses, the hope would be is you can pass savings along to your customers, to the families.
Yeah, that would be amazing, because that's a lot of money for people. My gosh, it's like it could be somebody's, half their salary, right? Terrible.
Well, it is. And Rose, to that point, is that, and I know this because I've had these conversations with lots of people from throughout the state, is, they have to make a decision on whether they're going to work or not based on their salary if they have, you know, children that need to go into care. And for some, they just can't make it work. You know, you've got all of the other expenses of having children and being a family. And then on top of that, you got to go, you know, you're going to work and it costs X amount of dollars for one, two, sometimes three kids to go into child care. And your salary doesn't cover all of that. And and so, you know, that's as, you know, difficult as well, because not everyone is going to, say, qualify for subsidies. You know, there is, you know, there's folks that are able to qualify, and there are others that aren't. And that's also a challenge in accessing, you know, quality child care.
We also don't have, we have less facilities, apparently, than we had just a few years ago. Is there, do you know why that is? Child care facilities?
Well, and again, I'm glad, you know, we're touching on this, is because we have over, say, 1,300 less child care providers than we did 4 years ago. And, of course, a lot of this had to do with the pandemic. And all kinds of businesses, and obviously in the child care industry, really were hit very hard. You know, it was interesting, too, like during the hearing, the state, through its various entities who were regulating child care and home child care and the regular traditional, you know, bricks and mortars, but a lot of provisions regulations were waived to get kids in, you know, in those slots, so people could go to work, especially the first responder community that had to go to work during the pandemic. And I heard that, you know, when thankfully we got out of the terrible pandemic that we're in, and it's just heartbreaking of all the things that happened there. But all those rules and regulations are back in place. And what so many of the providers, again, this was people that were in the business in New York City all the way up into the Adirondacks to Buffalo, were saying that, you know, it worked well without some of the burdensome rules and regs, and the state went back to the old business, and they're like, hey, you know, we need some relief here, and that's just part of it. But when you have that many less child care operators, you got to do something to get that system, you know, healthy again and be robust enough to meet the demands of people that need child care.
Yeah, so they're having trouble getting workers, I guess, too, you're saying. The child care
facilities
and stuff.
Well. And I will say this, and this is so important, and all of the people and individuals that I have spoken to, they know this is not a business where you are going to make all kinds of money.
Right.
So many are operating right on the margins, and they're doing it because they know that if they don't provide this service to parents and individuals, things are not good for those families. People need to get to work to support their family, and the ones, especially the non-traditional ones, like, they'll keep kids, you know, like, you get mandated, nurses, cops, firemen, you know, other workers, teachers who've got to work after hours, you know, they have people that they can depend on that will say, yeah, I can keep your daughter or your son longer, of course. That's not always the case in some traditional child care, but the ones that are operating out of their homes, they give that flexibility. That's why that's really important. That's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So these bills that you've proposed, what's the next step? Is there, like, I guess they got to be voted on, or happens?
Well, the way that it works is the bills go to the relevant committees. So the first bill, which is S7204, which is the directing OCFS to look at pilot program throughout the state and in different regions of the state for the non-traditional hour child care. That advanced out of the committee, I think it was a week or so ago. So that's moving on. The other two bills have not gotten on a committee agenda, so we're hoping for that before the end of the session. So we're just going to keep pushing, Rose.
All right. Is there anything that our listeners can do if they're interested in this? They want to know more. They want to write to, you know, whoever, the committees or whatever, to say, please vote yes.
Sure. I mean, they can reach out. Yeah. I mean, they can reach out to our office, send us an email or, you know, give a call. And but also, you can just keep an eye on it. Reach out to your individual state legislators. Obviously the listening audience of 103.1 is multi counties in the Hudson Valley. So any of your state elected officials, whether they're in the Assembly or in the Senate, you can reach out to say, hey, where is that bill that makes sense? And I hope that you can support it. So that's always a good thing, Rose.
That's terrific. Senator Rob Rollison, thank you so much for joining us. And real quick, if you could just give your office information if people want to contact you further about this.
Yeah, the best way is to shoot an email to my email address, which is Rollison, Rollison, at nysenate.gov. We'll be keeping an eye on that. And then the phone number for the office is 845-229-0106.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Senator. It's a pleasure to have you on. And have one more thing?
Yeah, thank you, Rose. Anytime you want me to come on and chat about the work we're doing or trying to do up in Albany, I'd love to.
Oh, anytime. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, as this thing progresses, if there's news, please let us know. We'd love to know more. Thanks so much.
Will do. Thanks so much.